Hi, everyone. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for inviting me to technically to Cork, even though I have to admit, I'm not in Cork. I'm so sorry. And happy Culture Night, everyone. I just want to say I work in a theater company, so it's been quite a day for everyone in general, but for all of us in the arts as well. And before I start, I just want to very quickly say that the arts is worth supporting, and a lot of us arts workers are having a bit of a time, and that there's a lot of work that goes into making art of all kind, and someone that starts right from the bottom ends up as the films you watch and the books you read and the things that are talked about in popular culture. It's all part of a process. So just want to start by saying save the arts, support the arts, because it's, you know, arts makes life worth living and it's worth saving. So I just want to start with that because it's been a day, you guys. actually, let me see if I'm on speaker. I'm going to pin myself so I can see myself. There you go. So I'm going to start with an introduction, which is how many things do start. So this is a poem called An Introduction. Hi there. Allow me to make an introduction. I am smiling because I can highly function on wounded birds and spark plug repairs. These are the cogs turning, going spare when I hand you my business card and instill confidence. The work I touch turns to gold. I don't have to shout about it, so I don't have to be quiet about it. So I shout and I shout and I let it all out, because work is the thing that I can't do without, because it makes me feel worthy and wanted and loved by strangers, because the dangers of real intimacy scare me way more than accountancy. So why can't I, map-minded, apply the formula for a business life to me? Find like-minded individuals who make me feel at home in myself, to co-achieve, co-love, co-produce friendship. What a collaboration that would be. A grand production. Hey, look what we made. Isn't it great? I want to show off how I feel right now. But then I guess it's a performance, not an internal reevaluation, accounting of stock and inventory that's being ticked off box by box. I want to be well, in all capitals, so I can be in YouTube videos about how I won against depression. Go me. See, if I can do it, so can you. Thumbs up, wink. Hey, kids, don't do drugs unless you want to. So where is my certificate of trying hard? I want a handshake every time I don't hate myself, a pat on the head when I clean a single dish. A thank you for not being abusive today would be great. Thanks, take your time. I'm here all day, not going anywhere. No, it's fine. It's all in my head. I breathe. Traffic signs stop. I want to swim in a calm of my own making. I want to take bad news without shaking or smoking 8 cigarettes in one sitting and crying myself hoarse, unslept, unkempt. I want a brain as organized as my desk, with a to-do list I can tick off where I can chart my progress, mapped, monitored, reported, quantitative results, organized alphabetically, sorted, but instead it's just a series of palpitations that tells me that today isn't okay. And an absence of swollen eyes, it tells me that today is. Today is. It exists. And the number of times I tried not to, when I planned my way to a watery grave where the black turquoise frieze would squeeze me out of my own room, I would give myself to the land that fed me sadness, and I would be part of your sand, getting everywhere, stuck in people's pants as a last revenge from the afterlife. All the times I felt like an inconvenience, at least this time it would be on purpose. But goddamn the fight in me. The low hit points, but the urge to battle. I was never built to quit, but built to be hit repeatedly by circumstance and by my own fist. Still battered, still stitched, my patchwork quilt heart still beats. Sometimes too loud, sometimes barely, and sometimes rarely, it beats just for me. And when it does, I smile at the world. I really do. And there's that streak of dusty sunshine that tells me today, it's fine. And thanks. I'm fine. How are you? Thank you. It's so weird to just see clapping, but it's so nice. It's really nice to actually see all of you. So thank you. For a bit of background, I moved to Ireland 8 years ago from the UK, and I wrote a poem about it called Brexit Blues, which used to be the main thing we worried about. So yes, this is called Brexit Blues. He never really leaves you. I cry in my bathrobe, I make a playlist. England, I love you, but you're bringing me down. My boyfriend is confused. The UK just dumped me. He doesn't get it. A country leaves my veins. I fall in love again. I fall for an accent that fits my face, with Dublin bikes and 20-minute walks, with a determined river, with bridges and lampposts. I think about it. I work till I burn and go, I'd like to make you mine forever. But he never really leaves you. And 4 years later, my heart is shredded anew. I sit scared and anxious. I live on a parallel street. It's not your home anymore. It's not your home. Would I have the courage to defeat a face full of spit on a crowded street, a slur like a cut across the eyeball? Would I be brave? Would I intervene? Would I stop him, the darkness in him? Would I be able to stand? Out of control, he's lashing out through centuries of sickness. He was set alight, and the ugliness is a shout behind a triumphant sneer into the ear of a terrified stranger. I thought I felt nothing, but it's bubbling black and viscous as I breathe relief on Irish soil with my heart clenched like a fist. Thank you. So after moving here, I tend to write a lot of poems about the cities I live in. I am the child of a diplomat, so my idea of home is definitely not one singular thing. And my way of feeling anchored in any place is to be attached to the city, because I don't have family and friends come and go, but the city is the thing that stays constant for me. So I tend to write a lot of poems about it. So I live on the north side of Dublin, and this is a poem I wrote called All Roads Lead to Dorset Street. A lake of cracked yolks on the north side sidewalk swims in the haze of a previous forgotten night. I lie awake in the cake slice bakewell bellyache from a little bit of late night Dublin life. In a rain rushed town, in the soft hush of a Sunday morning, the motorized whale song of Dublin bus and the screech cry of a Dublin gull pulse slowly, awakening from a coma, a moment under a microscope filled with the aroma of yesterday's garbage and a fry up. In this sweet half awake moment, melting into a freshly laundered pillow, one of many Dublin pillows, we open our eyes to a collective sleepy consciousness, that mass of restless Sunday bodies closing their eyes for a few more hours of sugary bliss. Half dreaming, half remembering, we start dozing into a memory of Wellington Quay, where slumping puppet skinny jeans hold on loosely to their liquor slick girlfriends, bored taxi drivers pause, remembering their last cigarette. A dream snaps back to a sticky scene. Hot sweatbox royalty spills out, drips out with saccharine sweet perfume and ecstatic screams. Loud, crackling laughter rubs against a silky shoulder, slipping into something subterranean and alien. Pale beauty made of false standoffishness. And over there, tangled in his legs, laces untied, spinning inside, stepped over by a girl in sharp heels with a sharp face who was dreaming of Netflix and a warm duvet. We live in a city of footsteps and dreams of bed and junky mutterings and Spanish chatter. We roll and revel in booze and banter or step over it in the dank orange lamplight of Capel Street, where all finally starts to slow down on the walk home. Bursts of accents puncture the pavement. The night ends early for me, and I see everyone else's little Saturday night worlds, and the girls who look like burst sausages with tired, heavy lashed eyes, staggering home only to be pigeon-plane by morning. But tonight they are sticky, tacky birds of paradise, wings askew, filled to the brim with Dutch courage and buckfast while those late shifters bustle past with only one thing on their mind. They can already hear the flick of the light switch as their tired, tired day becomes dark for some hours, precious few, before they start again, exhausted, anew. In 15 minutes, the pilgrimage ends. A can of Druid impaled on a post welcomes me back to the chapel, where I worship an absence of lovers and friends and a bed wrapped in cotton candy solitude. No, there's no food in the fridge, and no honey, I'm home, Just a beautiful moment of being alone in the holy loneliness that only Dublin provides when the bottom of your jeans are wet and torn, crumpled on the floor of a rickety flat, a Bakewell cake slice of a house that once was. It's raining outside and getting colder. We're all strewn across the wrecked cobble, getting better, getting older, and forever dreaming damp dreams by a slow-moving river. Thank you. So I do have a lot of love letters to Dublin, but this one is probably the most pointed one. This is called You City, You Boyfriend. And this was actually part of a book called Writing Home, The New Irish Poets. Very cool to be part of this. It's over 50 migrant writers have their poems published in this, published by Dedalus Press. And I have a few poems in there like this one. Seated awkwardly on a wooden box, we're on the last of my cigarettes, my fifth in 2 hours. He talks and talks and talks, and my replies are only punctuation for his next sentence. Across from a grey slab tower, the city smirks, raises an eyebrow as if to say, you know I'm so much better than him. And you're right, because when we converse through the choke of soft air, we exhale each other in whispers on a walk home where a smile has broken my face from the realization that yes, you are better than him. You are better than all of them because you push up through my thin soles and I feel every pebble when treading across your tar bump skin and I feel embedded in you. You city, you boyfriend, you dusty hug. And when I tell you that you're beautiful, you blush across the canal. Even though you already know that grey glamour suits you and you don't need to be told. I wear you like an arm across my shoulder. And when the wind pushes my hair back, I don't need an errant hand across a cafe table to push it aside. Like me, you play your cards close to your chest, but when we mourn, we crack and the rain pummels onto the pavements and across a million cheap umbrellas. So take me in and make me yours. Because I've already let the pawn in my pores anoint me to an orchestra of rustling leaves and seagull song, and one day I will take thee to be my lawful wedded home. And I shall wear a dress of summer fog and a ring of past lives, and you will smile and shrug. And in your humid indifference, I will vow to love you anyway, because I'm a hopeless romantic, and you're a city that keeps its own name. Thank you. I wish you guys could see my ridiculous setup, by the way, with my laptop on a tower and all my poems, like a sort of casino table situation. But I'm just going to pretend to be very adept at this. I have a few short poems now for you. These two are also from Writing Home. As someone who has a life dictated by borders and by immigration, I never have gotten over the delight of crossing the Irish border heading north, like just on a train or a car, just the nothing that happens. It's just really magical for me. And obviously that's now something not to take for granted anymore. But it's just for me a really special experience to just cross a border without any stress or minimal stress anyway. So I wrote two poems about heading up and down. One is called The 1035 from Belfast Central to Dublin Connolly. A behemoth sweeps by in a screech of city dust metal, warm blood on a cold spoon, Dublin winter smell. A horror movie clink of chains is only the bulk of a man releasing his two-wheel steed from a pole down the middle of O'Connell Street. I go north for the night to speed around a different country with voices like marbles in pink flesh-spit mouths. The Cathedral Quarter has yet to reach a crescendo before I get a lift back to an Airbnb off Ormond Road. Next morning, heading south in purple seats full of birdcage chatter, someone mentions Theresa May, and I can already taste the soft melt of Cadbury as I decline when she offers me a piece. My phone hasn't alerted me to a change of provider yet. The landscape betrays nothing, only graveyards, silk-misted farmhouses, and double-glazed windows sunk into brick, warming in the morning sun. Thanks. And this is Plane Train. Legging it off to be the first in line. Striding through the airport, queuing for hours. Itchy feet. Bored scrolling until bland-faced official looks, types, stamps, doesn't smile. Ordeal over. Anxiety subsides. But today I am kissing the earth with speed, velvet hills whipping past in poison green and bruise-lipped blues. The only signs of crossing is a text on my screen. But what if I'm caught? There'll be no turning back, so I keep a hold of my passport as we slip down the tracks, ready for when the winds may change. Thank you. What am I on time? Okay, I've gone 50 minutes, so I'm going to do two tiny ones and finish on one more. So as you can see, I write about cities and moving around a lot. And in lockdown, I actually started delving a little bit back into other kinds of poetry and other topics. I actually started thinking more about my family memories and writing about them. So this is one about my mother called Ararat. My mother is a Bible. She inks her sadness into uniform lines that I reach for in the comfort of darkness to trace fingers along familiar choices. My mother is a prayer. She becomes the sounds I chew over dinner, the repetition in my fury, the snarl in my hair. My mother is risen. She holds aloft a tumor the size of a cathedral in gold mosaic, radiation like sunshine warm with blood. My mother is a prophecy. She screams across the desert, her tongue a testament as she teeters above the memory of a deluge. Thank you. And this is another small one about my mother, which I actually recently won a prize with, which is very cool. First ever poetry prize winning. So I just kept telling, I'm just going to keep writing poems about my mother and keep winning stuff. Maybe that's the magic trick. So I wrote this the day of the SpaceX launch. While my mother and I, she's in Switzerland, I'm here, we were on the phone looking out the window, trying to see the rocket, and then later on, like the sort of capsule, we didn't manage to, but anyway. So this is called Stargazing with My Mother. We've seen stars fall before, she says over the phone, as we peer out over rooftops from different sides of Europe, looking for a blip or a spark against the blue, trying not to mistake a rocket for a star. You need binoculars, she says. And I remember how she demonstrated before handing me a pair as the Hale-Bopp comet blazed across a New Delhi sky. Look, over there, she said one time, pointing to a needle streak of white as we stood outside a Swiss hotel, not caring what people would think of two Indian women gazing upwards into the night. Thank you. Okay, I have kept you all for long enough. So I have one last poem to end on, and I thought I would end on a hopeful note for everyone in general, for the arts, for everything, and thank you again, Avail, and for inviting me, allowing me to be part of Culture Night, especially all the way in Cork. Nothing can keep the arts down, right? No matter what, we find a way to pull people together to share stories and have a pretty good time, regardless. So thank you, everyone. Have a lovely night and have an amazing time listening to Shauna Lee Lynch because she's amazing. So this is Engine of Love. I am an engine of love. I am steeped in the fumes from the spluttering, the muttering, and all the false starts. I have fed myself the fuel of regret and insecurities that bite and rust that stiffen, but now I must somehow ignite myself into existence. I have wires and veins, and they're clogged with sadness and an inward crumbling, stumbling over a mess of detritus shattered from a stronger beta version of myself. I spent a long time with wires crossed and screws loose, a heart coated in the dust of neglect and disuse, and every extended length of copper was left disconnected. Nothing conductive to curl onto, nothing electric to flow through. But I have visions of pistons, black slick and oil thick of locomotion, of motion raring to go, because I have stopped up every exhaust I could have used to dispel this toxic ooze in my throat, shuddering into palpitations, and what a sensation it would be to feel an ease of connection. So here, take this key. Oil up this Tin Man and start me up, because baby, I need lubrication, because the imagined sensation of white hot action is too much for these old metal plates that have contracted and shrunk from the cold. I want love to shimmer in the air around me. This smile is going to be a sunshine machine. You've never seen anything like it. I shall churn out magic with my fingertips, touch and glow. It's going to be hot, and I want everyone to be caught up in the spin, because in the state I'm in, my core will be rotating faster than the speed of light, and any moment now, I just might burst into life. Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.